Iran summons the UK's ambassador to voice its vehement protest at Britain's latest sanctions, saying Tehran reserves the right to take reciprocal action. The US president vows to provide Ukraine with advanced air defense systems, despite Russia's warnings that Western arms only prolong the war. And church leaders in the occupied Al-Quds express their grave concern about the possible relocation of the British embassy in Israel to the Holy City. Thank you for joining us. Top story this hour. The Iranian Foreign Ministry has once again summoned the British ambassador to express its strong condemnation of the UK's, quote, interventions in Iran's internal affairs. The Foreign Ministry said Iran considers Britain's arbitrary sanctions as totally worthless and reserves the right to take reciprocal action. The UK imposed sanctions on Iran over what it called the violation of human rights during recent riots in the country. The UK sanctions target a number of Iranian police, political and security officials. The blacklisting will bar the individuals from travelling to the UK and freeze their assets there. Their bans came after similar sanctions by the US. Tehran has slammed Washington's move by calling it the backbone of American-style human rights. The Russian military has struck several Ukrainian cities, including the capital Kiev, with over 80 cruise missiles in the first of such strikes in months. Ukrainian officials say the attacks that targeted western and central cities left at least 11 people dead and more than 60 others wounded. Large swathes of the country are now left without power. President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia is targeting Ukrainian people and infrastructure with the aim of wiping his country off the face of the earth. His Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin says, however, that strikes against Ukrainian energy, command and communications target were in response to what he called Ukraine's terrorist attack on a Crimea bridge on Saturday.
If attempts to carry out acts of terrorism on our territory continue, Russia's response will be harsh and its scale will correspond to that of the threat made against the Russian Federation. No one should be in any doubt about that.
Russia's defense ministry says all designated targets in Ukraine were hit by missiles. Reactions to the strikes are now pouring in. UN Chief Antonio Guterres has condemned the attacks, calling them an unacceptable escalation. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has stressed Washington's support for Ukraine, saying it will provide unwavering economic, humanitarian and military assistance to Ukraine. EU leaders have also pledged more military aid to Ukraine. France and Germany have said that they support they're offering support in line with what they call Kiev's military needs. Germany says it will soon deliver an air defense system to Ukraine. US President Joe Biden has vowed to provide Ukraine with air defense advanced systems after the biggest Russian missile attack since the start of the war. In a phone call with the Ukrainian President, Biden gave assurances about continued US support and condemned Russia's, quote, senseless attacks and war crimes. Biden also told Vladimir Zelensky that the US and its allies would hold Moscow accountable and continue to impose costs on Moscow. Meanwhile, Zelensky said air defense systems are the number one priority in the military cooperation between Washington and Kiev. The US has been the biggest sponsor of the Ukrainian military since the beginning of the war with Russia in February. The value of the US military aid stands at close to $17 billion. Moscow has repeatedly warned against the delivery of foreign military aid to Ukraine, saying it only prolongs the conflict. The European Commission announces plans for Ukraine to join the EU's long-term budget, suggesting the Ukrainian government would receive 3.5 billion euros per month to keep the state functioning. Meanwhile, the EU's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, warns The world is heading for recession due to rising inflation and interest rates. Jerome Hughes reports from Brussels.
The 2022 EU Ambassadors Conference was launched on Monday in Brussels against the backdrop of the war in Ukraine and its global consequences. Ambassadors from the EU's 145 delegations and offices around the world took part.
This is a perfect storm. First, prices increasing. Everybody's running to increase interest rates. This will bring us to a world recession.
Tensions between the West and Russia are rising. One official in Moscow claims a truck was used to attack the Crimean bridge last Saturday and had travelled through EU nation Bulgaria. The European Commission was asked to respond.
There are so many things coming out of Moscow and from these official so-called places which don't really merit any commentary. I mean, let me recall that the Crimea is Ukraine.
No one has yet claimed responsibility, but some analysts say the move was a strategic mistake.
The threats of a nuclear conflict are becoming more and more real. And I think it wasn't wise, it was really provocative to attack the bridge, especially military. Whoever did it, they haven't reached any significant result because the bridge resumed functioning the very same day.
12 months ago, EU agency the European Court of Auditors determined Ukraine is corrupt to the core. Despite this, the nation is set to become part of the EU's long-term budget. The European Commission says Kiev needs 3.5 billion euro per month to run the country.
Since the beginning of the war, we have supported Ukraine financially with Esteem Europe with up to 19 billion euros. This is not including the military capability and equipment support.
Fighting intensified on Monday as Russia's military struck Kiev and other Ukrainian cities. The latest position from the West's perspective is due to become clearer later this week when a meeting of NATO defence ministers takes place here in the Belgian capital. Also, an EU leaders' summit is due to take place here at the end of next week. Analysts are not anticipating there will be many references made to peace talks. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
According to an Italian central bank's latest report, firms see the economic situation in Italy deteriorating. This as the government has already spent more than 60 billion euros to protect the country's economy.
A study presented by the Bank of Italy on Monday raised the alarm on the Italian company's sentiment on the future. According to the report, based on information gathered between August 15 and September 15, spiraling inflation and uncertainty linked to the conflict in Ukraine have badly dented optimism. The Bank of Italy surveyed companies in the industrial and service sectors with at least 50 employees.
Bank of Italy's data was somehow predictable. One just needs to talk to people to realize how worrying the situation is. Maybe we must be aware that the financialization of the economy, a long-standing issue, is aggravating the economic situation and that companies must stop seeking high profits in a short span of time.
A third of the firms surveyed said difficulties related to rising energy costs had worsened in the previous 3 months, sparking a downward revision in the investment plans for the remainder of the year. The war between Ukraine and Russia has made an Italian energy crisis much worse. Italy received 40% of its gas imports before the conflict from Russia.
We are witnessing a spike in energy prices, which is only partially due to a shortage of supplies and also has roots in speculative strategies which threaten thousands of companies and alarm families.
The leader of a right-wing coalition that won elections about 2 weeks ago, Giorgia Meloni, is likely to become Italy's next prime minister. Meloni will face no shortage of challenges, from the budget and recovery plans to finding unity with allies and deciding how to handle the Ukraine-Russia war. So far, the Mario Draghi's government has spent 66 billion euros in an attempt to shield firms and families from surging energy costs. Italy's finances are set to be further put to the test as analysts predict the next government will be forced to increase fiscal aid or even to resort to a budgetary slippage. Max Civelli, Rome.
Moving on to other news, calls are growing louder in the U.S. Congress to punish Saudi Arabia over its decision to lower oil production and raise prices. A senior U.S. senator is now calling for an immediate freeze on cooperation with the kingdom, including most arms sales. Senator Bob Menendez says the U.S. must limit arms sales and security cooperation to what is absolutely necessary to defend U.S. personnel and interests. Three U.S. legislators have already introduced a bill to withdraw troops and missile defense systems from Saudi Arabia. The kingdom is the largest oil producer in OPEC+. The oil alliance has announced an output cut by 2 million barrels per day from November that could push up gasoline prices in the U.S. ahead of the midterm elections next month. It also hinders U.S. efforts to restrict Russia's oil revenue over the war in Ukraine. Occupied Al-Quds is at the heart of Israel-Palestine conflict. Now, church leaders there have voiced concern over UK's plan to relocate its embassy from Tel Aviv to the Holy City. We discuss this issue further in our news review program. Let's take a listen.
Churches in Al-Quds expressing concerns over Britain potentially moving its embassy to the Holy City, saying it would seriously damage any possibility of lasting peace in the region. Church leaders say that the British embassy relocation would, quote, severely undermine key principle of Al-Quds that's sacred to Christians, Jews, and Muslims alike. They say that this religious status quo is essential for preserving the harmony of the city and good relations between religious communities around the globe. Last month, British Prime Minister Liz Truss told her Israeli counterpart Yair Lapid that she was considering moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Al-Quds. Such a decision would be in line with a move taken by former U.S. President Donald Trump in 2018. Church leaders have urged the British government to rather redouble its diplomatic efforts toward the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Now, that was the story. Time now to get some insight on this. So joining me will be a couple of guests. Our correspondent Ramallah Mona Kandil is joining me. Robert Fantina, an author and journalist, is also joining me from Kitchener, Ontario. Welcome to the show. So, Mona, looks like this shows how significant Al-Quds is to the residents there. It's not only Muslims, Palestinians, now Christians, and their leaders are also expressing their concerns. Let's talk about the reactions to this move.
Well, we have to mention that the UK has had its embassy in Tel Aviv for decades, despite Israel's declaration that Al-Quds their eternal capital, and that the move of former U.S. President Donald Trump in 2018, that he when he relocated the U.S. embassy to Al-Quds, this has angered not only the Palestinians and the Muslim world, but several countries around the world, knowing that this means a clear, let's say, declaration that those countries would accept Israel to announce Al-Quds as the eternal capital of the Israeli regime. The Palestinians have, of course, refused this proposal and had called the UK, of course, a proposal to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Al-Quds as a blatant violation of all international laws. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed has also last week expressed his own concern, saying that any change in the status quo could undermine the so-called two-state solution and will be considered as a ticket to recognition of the city's annexation to Israel, which will encourage the occupying state and would encourage other countries to do the same thing as well.
All right. Now, Robert Fantina, Liz Truss, you know about her, that she was already, she's been actually supporting the Tel Aviv regime, and she also talked about it in her campaign. Now she's British Prime Minister, and she's going to relocate this, what Donald Trump did. And so church leaders are asking, instead of this, You'd better do something about peace between Palestinians and Israelis and help that process. And they're concerned, and you just heard them talk about that. So what's the goal that Liz Truss is pursuing?
Well, Liz Truss says publicly and proudly that she's a Zionist, and a Zionist goal is for the entity of Israel to own all of the land that is currently Palestine and was previously Palestine. So this is just a step in her goal to achieve that goal. Now, why she wants to emulate the actions of a defeated, twice impeached U.S. president who is under multiple investigations for very serious crimes is perhaps another question. If she is interested in peace, and she hasn't talked about that at all, she simply talked about moving the embassy to Jerusalem, which I hope she doesn't do, and which religious leaders are very rightly and justly opposing. Jerusalem is not the capital of Israel. Tel Aviv is. Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine. Not many countries recognize that at present, but that is simply a fact. And if there is going to be any peace in the region between Palestine and Israel, then Palestine must be recognized as the capital of, or Jerusalem must be recognized as the capital of Palestine.
Okay, appreciate your comments and contribution. Mona Candela and Ramela, Robert Fantina in Kitchener, Ontario.
Well, those were the top stories for this hour. Many thanks for joining us.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
A new scientific study has discovered that melting of Greenland ice cap will contribute a minimum rise of 27 centimeters to sea level, regardless of what climate action is taken. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian's environment editor, Damien Carrington. The piece is titled, "Major Sea Level Rise Caused by Melting of Greenland Ice Cap is Now Inevitable." Major sea level rise from the melting of the Greenland ice cap is now inevitable, scientists have found, even if the fossil fuel burning that is driving the climate crisis were to end overnight. The new research shows the global heating to date will cause an absolute minimum sea level rise of 27 centimeters from Greenland alone, as 110 tons of ice melt. With continued carbon emissions, the melting of other ice caps and thermal expansion of the ocean, a multi-meter sea level rise appears likely. Billions of people live in coastal regions, making flooding due to rising sea levels one of the greatest long-term impacts of the climate crisis. If Greenland's record melt year of 2012 becomes a routine occurrence later this century, as it is now possible, then the ice cap will deliver a staggering 78 centimeters of sea level rise, according to the scientists. Previous studies have used computer models of ice cap behavior to estimate future losses, but the physical processes are complex, and this leads to significant uncertainties in the results. In contrast, the study published in the journal Nature Climate Change used satellite measurements of ice losses from Greenland and the shape of the ice cap from 2000 through to 2019. This data enabled the scientists to calculate how far global heating to date has pushed the ice sheet from an equilibrium where snowfall matches the ice lost. This allowed the calculation of how much more ice must be lost in order to regain stability. It is a very conservative rock-bottom minimum, said Professor Jason Box from the National Geographical Survey of Denmark and Greenland, who led the new research. Professor Jason Box added, "Realistically, we will see this figure more than double within this century." The 27-centimeter estimate is a minimum because it only accounts for global heating so far, and because some ways in which glacier ice is lost at the margins of the ice sheet are not included. The advantage of this study is that it provides a solid estimate of inevitable sea level rise, but the method used does not give a timescale over which the ice will be lost. Nonetheless, based on scientists' overall understanding of how ice sheets such as Greenland lose ice into the ocean, the researchers said most of the rise would occur relatively soon. In 2021, other scientists warned that a significant part of the Greenland ice sheet was on the brink of a tipping point. The minimum of 27 centimeters is the sea level rise deficit that we have accrued to date, and it's going to get paid out no matter what we do going forward, said Dr. William Colgan. Also, at the National Geological Survey of Denmark and Greenland. Dr. William Colgan added, "Whether it's coming in 100 years or 150 years, it's coming, and the sea level rise we're committed to is growing at present because of the climate trajectory that we're on." Dr. William Colgan added, "If 2012 becomes a normal year, then the committed loss grows to 78 centimeters, which is staggering, and the fact that we're already flickering into the range of ice loss is shocking. But the difference between 78 centimeters and 27 centimeters highlights the difference that can be made through implementing the Paris Climate Accord. There is still a lot of room to minimize the damage." Mountain glaciers in the Himalayas and in the Alps are already on course to lose a third and a half of their ice respectively, while the West Antarctic ice sheet is also thought by some scientists to be past the point at which major losses are inevitable. Warming oceans also expand, adding to sea level rise. There is growing support in the scientific literature for multi-meter levels of sea level rise within the next 100 to 200 years, said Dr. William Colgan. A collapse of the colossal East Antarctic ice sheet, which would lead to a 52-meter rise in sea levels if it all melted, could be averted if rapid climate action is taken today. Professor Gail Whiteman at the University of Exeter in England, who was not part of the study team, said, "The results of this new study are hard to ignore for all business leaders and politicians concerned about the future of humanity. It is bad news for nearly 600 million people worldwide that live in coastal zones. As sea levels rise, they will be increasingly vulnerable, and it threatens approximately $1 trillion of global wealth. Professor Gail Whiteman added, political leaders must rapidly scale up funding for climate adaptation and damage. Sea level is rising faster today than for at least 3,000 years as mountain glaciers and the Greenland ice cap melt and ocean waters expand as they heat. Even a few meters of sea level rise will redraw the map of the world with profound consequences for millions of people in coastal cities from New York to Shanghai. The Greenland ice sheet, which could deliver 7 meters of sea level rise, is on the brink of a tipping point, after which accelerated melting would become inevitable, scientists warned back in 2021. While the full impact of melting ice is felt over centuries, researchers warned that the level of carbon emissions over the next few decades will lock in future sea level rise.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Let us ponder on a beautiful formula of solidarity of the Islamic Ummah as mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This hadith has been widely mentioned by both Sunni and Shiite scholars. The stars are a security for the people of the earth against drowning when at sea. And my Ahlul Bayt are a security to the people of the earth against discord.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. A an introduction into an Islamic lifestyle.
Today's lesson, thought regulation. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the effect of the thought regulations in the Islamic lifestyle. We know that human beings have the habit of thinking and planning for something in his mind. Therefore, if there are some regulations, if there is a discipline in thinking and the thoughts are being regularized according to the priorities and the things that we need to do, the things get disciplined in our life. We know that we must have this discipline in our individual life as well as in our social life. And when we talk about the social life and individual life, there are different things that we need to do. For example, what time should I wake up? What time should I pray? What is the time for the breakfast? And if I'm going to the university or a school or a college, or maybe I'm going to the work, how many hours do I need to spend there? Is there any time for my family? Is there any time for myself? So when I need to think about all these things when I am living as an Islamic, I'm having an Islamic lifestyle. Why? Because Islam gives importance to every single aspect of the life. And when it gives importance to every single aspect of the life, it gives importance to the way I think as well, the way I discipline my daily routine, the way I schedule my daily routine. Therefore, it is very important that I give a discipline, I give a regulation to my thoughts, to way I plan, the way I think. And if I am succeeded in making true plans, making right plans, making a good schedule, and to think in a good way, in a right way, then obviously I am a successful person. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of thought regulation in the Islamic lifestyle. And we said that there must be a discipline or regulation in our thinking or the thoughts that we have. Therefore, when we need to have something, if we want to perform something, if we want to do some action, there is a process, and this process must be followed, that we think first and then we perform. Even about the sayings, it is said that before you speak, you must think. So it is because that if I can discipline, if I can have some regulations or discipline for my thoughts, I can have a better life. For example, when I'm thinking about my daily schedule, my daily routine, how much time do I spend for my work and how much time do I give to my family? Because my family is also important. On top of that, the main thing is my own life. Do I have any time for myself or not, where I can relax, where I can have some entertainment? Maybe I can spend some time with the friends, or maybe I want to be alone at that time. Therefore, all the actions that we do, all the actions that we perform, it is all under the way we think, the way we think about different things. Therefore, we need to set something, some regulations, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, obviously He did not allow us to think freely about anything. There are some limitations. We must control our mind. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that the mind is just the things, the thoughts are like a bird, that if you leave it, it will flew wherever it want. But when you control it, when you put it in a cage, then obviously it cannot go anywhere where you're not allowed to. Therefore, we must control our thoughts according to the system of Islam, and to in order to have a positive and good and healthy life, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to afloat. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap, neuter, release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. We'll be right back. terror baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Irshan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Irshan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Irshan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? And how much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting, call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers and making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, five of the fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuge, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
The United States is not what is shown in flamboyant Hollywood movies. You can get the real image of this country when a disaster happens. Destroyed houses, lack of food and medicines, erected tents on sidewalks are just a few examples of normal life in a hurricane-hit U.S. This time, Florida is bearing the brunt of this burden, with the death toll mounting in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, which made landfall on the state's coast as a Category 4 storm last Wednesday, September 28, bringing devastating storm surges to the Cape Coral Fort Myers area and deadly flooding across the state. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. The website of Politico wrote, more than 2 million people were left without power as Ian swept through Florida, bringing catastrophic flooding and winds to large areas of the state in what some are predicting could be one of the worst storms to ever affect the Sunshine State. Images and videos broadcast on television and shared on social media showed scenes of flooding and destruction. Streets and even houses appeared flooded, while trees looked as if they were torn from the ground. Governor DeSantis warned that the storm, which weakened to a tropical storm, will cause extensive damage and widespread power outages, with full restoration efforts fully likely taking weeks. Recently, more than 2 million people were without power, representing 16% of the state. Florida emergency officials in Tully House received a handful of reports that Ian had damaged or destroyed the structures, but DeSantis expected that the state would face much more damage as the storm pushed across the state. Ian already knocked out communication service to 911 call centers in Hendry and Glades counties, DeSantis said. DeSantis added, calls are being answered and the people that are calling are being noted, and then those local first responders will deploy as soon as it's safe to do so. DeSantis said crews may need to conduct major reconstruction projects that could take weeks, meaning scores of residents could be without power for a long time. Axion also reported Hurricane Ian likely caused $53 billion to $74 billion in insured losses from Florida to the Carolinas, with a best estimate of $67 billion, according to new data released recently from modeling firm RMS. The big picture. These preliminary damage totals would make Hurricane Ian the costliest storm in Florida history and second nationally to Hurricane Katrina when adjusted for inflation. The storm, which devastated densely populated areas of southwest Florida, including F.D. Mayer's, Naples, and Barrier Island communities such as Sanibel Island, killed at least 92 people in Florida alone, according to the Associated Press. RMS, which is part of Moody's, also estimated the Federal National Flood Insurance Program could see $10 billion in losses from storm surge and inland flooding from the storm. Much of the damage from this storm is from water. With the coastal surge wiping out homes and businesses near the shore, and inland flooding hitting record levels across central Florida in particular. Wind damage was less extensive, likely due to strict building codes in the region, according to Steve Bowen, chief science officer at reinsurance broker Gallagher Re. Also, by the numbers, according to the Insurance Information Institute, 2021's Hurricane Ida was the most expensive hurricane on record in Florida, with $36 billion in insured losses there. Nationally, 2005's Hurricane Katrina ranked at the top of the list, with about $85 billion in insured losses when adjusted for inflation using the Consumer Price Index. What they are saying, Ian was a historic and complex event that will reshape the Florida insurance market for years to come, said Mohsen Rahnama, chief risk modeling officer at RMS, in a statement. Bowen, who is currently surveying damage in Florida, said the damage from the storm surge has beaten his expectations. The good news is that newer constructed buildings in many communities seem to have performed very well given the intense wind speeds, which he chalked up to strict building code standards. Yes, but Bowen cautions that final loss numbers won't be known for many months. Given the anticipated volume of storm-related litigation to come, everyone needs to be mindful of the ongoing financial uncertainty, and that numbers are going to evolve for many months to come, if not longer, he said. There is no question that Ian will go down as one of the costliest U.S. natural catastrophe events on record and one of the most expensive for the insurance industry. Where it finally lands on top five list, TBD. Context: hurricanes are becoming more intense, undergoing more episodes of rapid intensification, and are delivering more rainfall due to human-caused climate change. This may drive a future escalation in storm losses. Though so far, damage trends are dominated by the huge influx of people moving to vulnerable areas.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Subcontinent.
The Subcontinent.